Numbers chapter 32. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a great multitude of livestock. When they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that, behold, the place was a place for the cattle, they came and spoke to Moses and Eleazar the priest, and to the princes, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer, etc., the land which Yahweh struck before the congregation of Israel is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock. If we have found favour in your eyes, let this land be given to your servants for a possession. Don't bring us over the Jordan River. So they had not yet crossed the Jordan, and yet they saw this land that they rather fancied. That was just the other side of the Jordan, to the east. They said, well, can we have this? Can we settle here? Moses replied, shall your brothers go to the war, and shall you sit here? Why do you discourage the heart of the Israelites from going over into the land which Yahweh has given them? Your fathers did so when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up to the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which Yahweh had given them. And Yahweh's anger was kindled in that day, and he swore, saying, surely none of the men who came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, except Caleb, who means dog, and he did, as it were, follow faithfully like a dog, except Caleb and Joshua, because they have followed Yahweh completely. Yahweh's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander back and forth for 40 years in the wilderness, until all the generation who had done evil in the eyes of Yahweh was consumed. And you've risen up in your father's place to augment yet the fierce anger of Yahweh toward Israel. But if you turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and you will destroy all this people. So we've got to be very careful about our attitudes, because we can discourage others from entering God's kingdom. Well, they saw the land rather like Eve saw the fruit, and they wanted it now. We want it immediately. Well, they had to dispossess the nations from Canaan on the west of Jordan to get the land, but, well, they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to fight. They thought, well, we've already fought a bit with Og, king of Bashan. Let's just live in this land here. We don't want to go any further. And the argument was that your attitude is discouraging to your brethren. And remember the historical precedent of the spies who said, no, we don't want to go into the land, and how that led to the 40 years wandering. We are to learn from biblical examples. And that's what Moses was saying. Haven't you learnt from the 10 spies? Well, they came near to him and said, we'll build sheepfolds here for our livestock and towns for our little ones, but we ourselves will be ready armed to go over before the children of Israel until we have brought them to their place, to their inheritance. And our little ones will dwell in the fortified cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We won't return to our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. Well, that was in one sense, an acceptable idea. And it shows how we should not be selfish, thinking the only thing I'm interested in is me getting into God's kingdom. We need to have a wider perspective that it's not all about me, it's about God's glory. And it's about helping others into God's kingdom. So Moses said to them, if you will do this thing, if you will arm yourselves to go before Yahweh to the war, and every armed man of you will pass over the Jordan before Yahweh until he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land is subdued before Yahweh, then afterward you shall return and be guiltless towards Yahweh and towards Israel. And this land shall be to you for a possession before Yahweh. But if you will not do so, you have sinned against Yahweh, and be sure your sin will find you out. Well, actually, what they were asking for appeared to be a shortcut to the kingdom, but there is no shortcut to the kingdom. And actually, they were making things somewhat more difficult for themselves, because Moses says, well, the deal is that you all your soldiers go over the River Jordan, and that would have left their women and their little ones in cities that they were going to fortify, even though there were aggressive inhabitants of the land around them. So their wives and their children would be left in those cities without any soldiers, any armed men, to protect them. Because every armed man of you must pass over the Jordan before Yahweh. So God is watching this carefully. So there isn't any real shortcut to the kingdom, because all the time that they were there on the other side of the Jordan, they'd have had to be praying to God, "Oh, look after my family. They've not got anyone to protect them apart from you." So he says, "Well, then build cities for your little ones and folds for your sheep and do what's proceeded out of your mouth." The children of Gad and the children of Reuben spoke to Moses, saying, "Your servants will do as my Lord commands. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, our livestock will be there in the cities of Gilead, but your servants will pass over, every man who is armed for war, before Yahweh to battle." So Moses commanded that concerning them to Eleazar and to Joshua, "If the children of Gad and the children of Reuben will pass with you over the Jordan, every man who is armed to battle, and the land will be subdued before you, then you shall give them the land of Gilead for a possession. But if they will not pass over with you armed, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan." The children of Gad and the children of Reuben replied, "As Yahweh has said to your servants, so will we do. We will pass over armed before Yahweh into Canaan, and the possession of our inheritance will remain with us beyond the Jordan." Moses gave to them, to Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh, the kingdom of Sihon and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land according to its cities and borders. So this was accepted, but I think you could say that it was not God's ideal intention. He wanted them, I think, to inherit within the territory between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean. But okay, they wanted to do it this way and God went along with them. But actually, they were making things harder for themselves. When the land was later divided up, they were given a much bigger territory than what they had asked for. In fact, the land to the east of Jordan was even bigger than the land to the west of Jordan, and there was only 2.5 tribes who had to do the work of driving out the tribes who were living there. It's a massive area. And they didn't do that. So they were making it more difficult for themselves, plus they had to leave their wives and children in these cities without any armed men with them, whilst they went and fought for the Israelites, the rest of the Israelites. And we're told that, in another record, that their soldiers had to go in the forefront of the battle. So they actually had to do the hard fighting. They were at the front of the army as it attacked the various other tribes that were in the land on the west of Jordan. So there is no shortcut to God's kingdom. Now, you can figure out from the Bible itself that the River Jordan was quite often difficult to cross. It flooded its banks. It was not a little trickle of a stream as it is in some places today. It was a much bigger river, and there were no bridges over it. The law of Moses required that, for example, every 7 years they all gathered together in one place and heard the entire law read to them, and also that every male must appear 3 times before the Lord in at the sanctuary, the place where God would choose. So they were actually making their obedience more difficult by choosing that which appeared the softer, easier, better, more prosperous option. And it was all a case of seeing something and wanting it. They had been told they were being led to a good land. So actually there would have been plenty of good land for their cattle actually in Canaan itself, on the west of Jordan. But they saw this land on the east and they said, "Oh yeah, this is what we want." Well, it didn't work out well, because eventually they were the first who were taken into captivity by Assyria. A lot of the towns that they wanted and that they initially lived in, later on you read of them being in the control of the Moabites and the Ammonites. So they didn't actually keep the places that they so wanted. It didn't really work out. What does this translate out at? Well, it could be that you get the offer of a good university place or a good job in a place where you know there is no church you can go to, or where maybe there aren't believers at all. And, well, you think, yeah, I shall go there because, well, I it just would be a great income, great quality of life. But you therefore slip away from the center of things within the community of God. This happens so often. And this is what happened to these people. But, okay, that's what they wanted, and God went along with it, rather like Israel wanted a human king later. And, okay, God says, you're rejecting me, but I'll give you one. They wanted a physical temple, and God said, I don't want a temple because I live in a tent. Okay, if you want it, right, go ahead. And he lived in that temple and accepted it. It's like the father of the prodigal son saying, okay, you demanded the money, I'll give it to you, knowing full well this was not going to be to the spiritual help of that boy. So, God is like that. He will, in a sense, give you that which you really want, even though it may make it harder for you to get to his kingdom. So, he does it like that, so that we understand that what is so important is where your heart is. What in your heart of hearts you really want. If in your heart of hearts you want the luxurious life and what looks good, what you saw with your eyes at first glance and you wanted for yourself. If in your heart of hearts you just want the smart life. Yeah, well, okay, you get it, but it's going to be far harder for you to get to God's kingdom. And so there's a lot of lessons in this, and these ancient accounts, these ancient histories, speak absolutely to us today.